Let's give God some praise in the house. He is risen. Christ is alive. Wow. Unequivocally, those six words capture the strongest and the greatest statement of life, hope, love, and promise for humanity, for you and for me. And this morning, we cannot ignore the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Human history forever changed in the name of Jesus Christ. And I anticipate for most of us here that our lives have also been permanently changed by this truth and this reality. We cannot lose sight of both the power and the potential that those six words, "He is risen, Christ is alive," hold for humanity and the world at large. They hold phenomenal power for those of us that are believers, but they also hold phenomenal potential for those of us that have not yet got to that point. So what does Resurrection Sunday mean to us? The culture will tell you it's about the Easter bunnies and the chocolate eggs in their continued desire, with consummate ease, to continue reducing Easter to some cultural nonsense that does not reflect the enormity of what Jesus accomplished and achieved for humanity. Because Jesus died and rose again, we have hope. Amen. Because consider for just a moment, if he had died but not rose again, in the place of hope, there would be hopelessness. And yet one of the most powerful spiritual kingdom principles that we can lay hold of this afternoon is the power of hope. We all need it. Everyone needs to retain hope in something or someone. And so I have only really one question for us this afternoon. In whom does your hope lie in? Our hope should lie in God. And as faithful followers of Jesus Christ, we cannot allow the spiritual significance of this day to be redefined or recalibrated to the standard of the world. Make no mistake, Jesus went willingly, faithfully, and obediently to the cross of Calvary and paid the highest price for our sins. And his subsequent resurrection guarantees us fullness of life, everlasting life, victory over death. Jesus died so that we would not have to experience eternal death. He rose so that we could experience eternal life. And each and every one of us today have to arrive at that point and place in our lives where we accept without reservation that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Salvation has a name, and the name is Jesus. But do you find yourself here this afternoon where your hope has been damaged, diluted, disfigured in some way? Perhaps you're here struggling simply to hold your life together. Life has been difficult, challenging. Hope has evaporated. You find yourself wandering through the issues of life and all its inevitable challenges. Maybe you hoped that you would have been married by this time. Maybe you hoped that you would have been further along in your career path. Maybe you hoped that you had bought your first home, had your first child. I don't know. But when those things don't happen, hope can recede. We read in probably the best known portion of Scripture on love, 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse declares, "And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love." And we use that portion of Scripture regularly in wedding services. But it's that middle word that I find that we often overlook and omit from our lives. We're very confident about our faith, our confidence in God. We know and have been beautiful recipients of God's lavish love for us. But hope sometimes can be difficult. Paul declares in Romans 15, verse 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Hope dares to believe. It enriches your spirit. It gives you a confident expectation of good. But hope is only as strong as its source. That is why our hope cannot reside in our job, in our salaries, in our families, in our friends, in our position, in society. Those things will let you down. Our hope must be exclusively in Jesus. And so today, we're going to take some time to go through a story of two people in the Bible who seemingly had lost all hope. They had hope, but that hope had disintegrated. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. The first 12 verses capture the account from Luke on the resurrection, but it's actually verses 13 to 24 that we're going to spend some time in this afternoon. So Luke 24, verses 13 to 24. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these 3 days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. And we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is now the 3rd day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus." And today I want to address and speak to, I believe, three groups of people that may be here in the church service. You may be interlinked, so you may be in more than one of these three groups. The first group is that God gives hope to regular people. Amen? Amen. Jesus appears here to two pretty ordinary, regular, normal people. In fact, they are so normal, one of them doesn't even get a name. Wow. Scholars and theologians continue to debate and discuss about the actual identity of these two people. We know one is called Cleopas. We can see the etymology would tell you, if you read John 19, verse 25, you see a very similar variation without the E of the same name. Scholars are unsure whether it's the same person or two different people. What we do capture, though, is that they are two ordinary people just going on a walk. And I believe this morning that every single one of us can retain fresh hope that the God who flung stars into space, the God who knows the end from the beginning, knows each and every one of us and is interested in every one of our lives. There is hope for the regular person here today. But now take a moment. I know we're all on a journey to be more like Jesus, amen? That's the destination. But imagine being Jesus. You've just been resurrected. Where would you go? What would you do? Who would you see? There would be many of us saying, "Well, Caesar considered himself a little bit of a god. I would go and have a conversation with him." And I'm sure a picture would paint 1,000 words if you saw Jesus walking up to Caesar. Maybe, obviously, a second option would be Pontius Pilate. But Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Not a top-tier disciple. She was present at the cross. She was first at the empty tomb. And now we have Jesus intentionally choosing to interact with these two individuals. Cleopas is mentioned, and this is the only time that they appear in the scriptures. And they don't even recognize that that is their risen Lord and Savior. Now, I know many of you know, I don't know how and I don't know why, I seem to have a way of meeting famous people all the time. And my wife had mentioned to me the other week, she said, "Honey, you haven't met anybody famous recently. And I thought about that for a minute, and I was like, do you know she's right? And as a recently married man, I've learned my wife is always right. Amen? Any married man here, you'll be able to testify and verify. And as I was finishing my sermon yesterday, I was going to see some friends in the afternoon, and it was a nice sunny day, so we decided to walk. And God gave me a story that would fit this story. We're walking down a particular road, and just up here, 40, 50 yards on the left, an amazing, internationally recognized couple. I won't give you their names, but you would know them. She's an actress, he's a musician. I dithered, do I, don't I? Yeah, hey, would I mind? Would it be okay to get a picture? She had jumped in the car. I got a picture with him. If you want to know who it is, see me later. Wasn't Jesus. But the bottom line is, even in a moment, just walking down a road, nothing happening, you can spot a celebrity 50, 60 yards away. And yet, we're believers in Jesus Christ, seemingly walking with him. Sometimes we can miss him. Do you ever find that in your life? Jesus is longing to speak to us. He's longing to encounter us. And we are walking with him, but we don't always recognize that he's actually there and he's actually with us. And that's the reality for these two people here in the story. They didn't know that they were walking with Jesus. And I can't get my head around that. That we can spot and see anything in everyone, but sometimes, even in our own lives, if we go below the surface, we find ourselves guilty of missing Jesus. Carrie Job, the wonderful worship leader, wrote these words from one of her acclaimed worship songs that declares, "Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness." And I believe that there is hope for each and every one of us here today to become more aware of the presence and the resurrection power of Jesus in and through our ordinary lives. We are maybe ordinary people, but we serve an extraordinary God who can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can possibly ask or imagine. What about the last verse of Psalm 121 declares, "The Lord will watch over you in your coming and going both now and forevermore." He is Emmanuel, God with us. He promises never to leave or forsake us. He is consistent and perfect in all of his ways. Psalm 46, verse 1, "God is our refuge and our strength, our very present help in times of need." What about Zephaniah 3, 17? "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will extol over you with loud singing." What about Isaiah 41, 10? "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand in the name of Jesus Christ." There is hope for the regular person. And our journey with Jesus from this moment he was resurrected to eternity is forever guarded and guided by the power of our Heavenly Father. He is with us in every valley experience, every mountaintop, in all the stuff that happens in the middle. Think about Daniel thrown into the lion's den. God was with him, amen? And he went from the pit to the palace in just a few days. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? God joined them in the fire. He was the fourth man in the fire. That is a word for some of us in the house of the Lord today. God is not just going to redeem you from your situation. He's going to join you in the middle of your trauma, in the middle of your trouble, and he's going to lead you and he's going to guide you out for the glory of God. He is with you in Jesus' name. Joseph and Potiphar's wife, Genesis 39, 7 times. The word of God declares in that chapter, "And the Lord was with Joseph." The Lord is with you. The Lord is with this church. The Lord is with Kensington Temple, London City Church, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we have gone through tough terrain. We have navigated a significant season, troubling times, a chaotic corridor of time. But I'm here to tell you, continue to be faithful and fruitful to the call of God over your life. in the name of Jesus Christ. Because Isaiah 43 verse 2 stands strong. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, and the flames will not consume you. In the name of Jesus, that is a really good place to give God some praise in the house of the Lord. He is with you in every season, in every moment. Hope dares to believe that tomorrow offers more than today. It trusts confidently in a better future. It's enriched, it's encouraged by previous victories and breakthroughs. It is never troubled or terrified by the enemy. Hope has a compass that perpetually points forward. And I believe that we need to do that. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. It doesn't involve itself with irrelevant irritations that have no authority and no autonomy over your life. But there is one problem with the two people that Jesus is now appearing to. They're walking, maybe wandering, but they're going in the wrong direction until they meet Jesus. Has anyone been there? Can anyone testify? Can I get a witness in the house of the Lord? At some point we were all going in the wrong direction until we found Jesus. And then we turned and we repented and we found forgiveness of sins, and now we walk in the right direction. Everything changed because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And you know, you never head in the wrong direction when Christ is at the wheel of your life. The second group of people I want to take a moment to speak to today is I want to instill hope for the hurting people. Maybe you're here today and you are hurting. Life has battered and bruised you. You've crashed from one problem to another, pain seemingly giving way to yet more pain. You may even have been hurt by church. Perhaps the church has let you down. Jesus has never let you down. Don't put onto Jesus what man has done. Maybe you feel abandoned. You feel overlooked, marginalized, irrelevant, maybe even unwanted. And I believe there's three words in that portion of scripture that we read, Luke 24, 13 through 24, right in the middle. It's right at the start of verse 21. Three key words that I believe will be able to transform anyone in this place that is hurting. It says very clearly, we had hoped. Past tense. Their hope had seemingly vanished, just like Jesus. Their hope had gone. They were being honest, direct, transparent. They were seemingly so anguished and pained at placing their hope in this Jesus, and that hope had seemingly not been rewarded. At least that's what they thought in their mind, but it was not true. But you know, the tragedy is they responded to that hurt. They moved away from the cross. They moved in the opposite direction. They were committed to somehow putting as much distance between themselves and the cross in some feeble, faint hope that their pain, their hurt, would somehow be subdued and soothed if they just got as far away as possible. Realistically, they should have gone back to Galilee as Jesus had commanded them, or certainly stayed in Jerusalem. They seemingly did neither. And can I tell you, if you're here in the house of the Lord today, Jesus wants to heal you from every emotional hurt, every mental scar, anything that is hampering and hindering you walking in the fullness of the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But do not ascribe to Jesus what man or structures, denominations, or anything else may have done to you. Jesus has never failed you. Do you know how I know? He's never failed me. And he doesn't love me more than he loves you. So if he hasn't failed me, I know by any shadow of a doubt, he has not failed you. So don't look at Jesus and be disappointed. Don't look at Jesus and have had hoped. Retain your hope. Retain your hope. What a tragedy that that could happen. You are his son, his daughter, in whom he is well pleased. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are created in his image and likeness. Man may have failed you and caused you great pain, but hear me clearly. Do not give up on Jesus, because he did not give up on you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus finished his race. He fulfilled his purpose. He achieved everything that his Father called him to, in spite of his own rejection, betrayal, anguish, pain, heartache, and suffering. Romans 8, verses 31 to 38. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who shall be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. How will he not also graciously give us all things? Who then shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is there to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, he was the one raised to life, who is at the right hand of the Father, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things you are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, people of God, give God some praise. You are more than a conqueror because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. No angels, no rulers, no things present or to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nothing in all creation will ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is a word for the hurting. The enemy is under your feet. Every scheme, every plan of man broken and destroyed over your life. If you want healing, go to the great healer, the great physician. No more pity parties. No more abdicating our authority in Christ. No more listening to the lies of the enemy. No more fear. No more failure. Resurrection power is our portion in the name of Jesus Christ. We've got to transform our thinking. We've got to move into the divine call of God over our lives and find irreversible healing for all of our hurts, which means we need to do the opposite of what these two men did. We need to move to the cross, not away from it. That is where you find your healing. That is where you find your deliverance. That is where your breakthrough is. That is where your victory is. And I believe because of the hope of the risen Christ, every mess will become a message. Every test will become a testimony. Place your hope where your hope has been found. Not in man, not in church, not in the world. They will all fail you. Place it in the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Place your hope in his infallible word. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Place your word over every promise in Scripture that is yes and amen for those in Jesus Christ. Some of us that are hurting in here, we need to dare to dream again. We need to pick up our cross and follow Jesus all the days of our lives and not allow the greatest hurt to dictate and determine your destiny in Jesus. Your destiny in Jesus is secure because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. And the third group of people, lost people. Have you ever been genuinely lost? Now, I don't want any married men. I don't want any thinking about the time you're sitting in the car with the wife and she's offering directions. Amen? I want to get out of here alive. But even when we use the most accurate of maps, we get lost. Take a wrong turn. We get moments in our lives where we just get lost. And the worst part is often you don't actually know you're lost until you get found. Because there's no alarms, no sirens, no danger signs, there's nothing. You're just carrying on with your life. And maybe you're here today because it is Easter. And thank God that you are here. If you're new here in Kensington Temple this morning, we want you to know that we love you. You are precious and priceless to Jesus. And we care about your life. Please do not leave this building without speaking to anyone on our welcome team, any of the pastors, any of the leaders, any of the staff. We care about you. We're delighted you're here. And you may have heard the worship and wandered in. Can I tell you, you're not lost. You're in the house of the Lord on Resurrection Sunday, hearing the word of God. You don't know it yet. You just got found. You're about to get found in Jesus' name. Nothing takes God by accident. Consider these two men walking in the wrong direction. They didn't know any better. And the likelihood is it's the same true for you and I today. And yet in just one beautiful encounter, their lives changed forever and for the better. Jesus conquered death, hell, sin, and the grave, was nailed to that bloody, rugged cross at Calvary so that you and I could walk in right relationship with him and the Father, have access to all of that. And you, if you're lost here today, you have an opportunity to move from death to life. Amen? From darkness into light, from lies into truth, from bondage into freedom. Stop me when there's something that's applicable to you. Amen? God is good. He is faithful. What is most comforting to those of us here that may feel lost? Just like Jesus with these two men, he's not given up on you. He didn't give up on these men, and he's not going to give up on you. He never will. But you know what was heartbreaking in that portion of scripture was they said this happened 3 days before. So the totality of their hope in Jesus was barely 3 days. And I wonder for some of us here, maybe you've drifted away from God. Maybe you've never heard of Jesus. Where is your hope? Has your hope evaporated in just a few days because God seemingly failed to turn up? God didn't break through. God hasn't answered. But you know, all the way through Scripture, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see so consistently that God speaks in threes. And yet these two people, in their state of being lost and losing hope, had forgotten what Jesus said. Romans 15, verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Hope. It's a powerful force. An English-born but Canadian-raised theologian, J.I. Packer, recently went to be with the Lord a few years ago, defines hope as follows. He starts by saying, optimism is a wish without warrant. Christian hope is a certainty, guaranteed by God himself. Optimism reflects ignorance as to whether good things will ever actually come. Christian hope expresses knowledge that every day of his life and every moment beyond it, the believer can say with truth, on the basis of God's own commitment, that the best is still yet to come. And I believe whether you're someone who is lost currently, someone who is hurting, or you feel overlooked, you feel just like a regular person, the best is still yet to come in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Why? Because everything that was dead in your life is now alive in Jesus because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Hope for humanity. Hope is all the way through the Scriptures, arguably nowhere more poignant and profound than the verses that we've just read. And I believe God wants to restore our hope today. Hope for a healthy, wholesome future filled with his resurrection power. And I want to leave you with a quote from an American author called Lee Strobel. He wrote a book called The Case for Christ in the late 90s, became a film about 10 or 15 years ago. He states the following: "The resurrection is the supreme vindication of Jesus' divine identity and his inspired teaching. It is proof of his triumph over sin and death. It is the foreshadowing of the resurrection of his followers. It is the basis of Christian hope. It is the miracle of all miracles." And I want to give us an opportunity this afternoon to respond. And so maybe you want to take a moment to maybe bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to work backwards from my 3 points. Maybe you're lost in this place this morning. You have no idea about this resurrection power. I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves you. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you may have explored and examined other religions, other faith groups, but I'm here to tell you unequivocally, it is only our God that is still alive, still doing miracles, and he wants to encounter you. He wants you to experience his relentless, lavish love for you. And you don't need to perform. You don't need to appease anything or anyone. It just requires an open and willing heart that recognizes Jesus Christ is Lord, that he paid for my sins when he went to the cross, that he lived with the sole purpose of dying so that we could walk in freedom, freedom from everything, from shame, from rejection, from habits, sin, strongholds over our lives. And I want to take a moment in this place. If you are lost, I want to tell you, you're in the right place. You can be found in the next few precious minutes that follow. But it requires a moment of bravery and boldness, maybe even being blunt, like these two men were with Jesus. It requires you to respond publicly. Jesus died on a hillside, naked, in front of his own mother. And he resurrected, and he's alive right now, seated at the right hand of the Father, making prayer and intercession for you. "I once was lost, but now I'm found." The words from Amazing Grace. And so if you're in this place and you want to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, I would be hugely honored if you would take a moment and just slip your hand up all over this place. And we have people from our welcome team that would love to speak with you afterwards, connect with you, and just help you understand the decision that you've made, help you find your place with us here at KT in the family of God, knowing that you truly are priceless and precious to Jesus. So if there's anyone here, just take a moment, lift your hand. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. The second group of people are those that have been hurt. Move towards the cross, not away from it. Take your troubles and your traumas to Jesus. You have ready access to the Father. God's word in Hebrews 4 is so clear. Let us walk right up to him, accept the mercy, receive the help that he is so willing to give. And I implore you, don't put at the feet of Jesus what man or this world may have done to you. He's never failed you. He's never hurt you. He's never let you down. And I believe that forgiveness needs to flow in this place. Healing needs to come into every heart and mind, emotionally, mentally, relationally, maybe even physically. But if you are hurting in the house of the Lord today, I want to tell you that there is hope for you because of the resurrection power of Jesus. You don't need to carry that hurt anymore. Don't let that hurt form part of your identity. Don't let it steal your joy. Don't let it rob you of your destiny in Jesus Christ. Receive your healing. Turn back. Go to the foot of the cross. Leave it all there, and you will see the great healer bring healing and deliverance and victory into every part of your life in the name of Jesus Christ. And I guess the last group is for all of us. There are no superstars in the kingdom of God. There is just one risen Lord and Savior, and his name is Jesus. And our goal is to make him famous, not ourselves. But sometimes we can feel ignored, overlooked, unwanted, maybe even abandoned. And we feel that our contribution to church, to ministry, because it may not take place on a platform, is somehow irrelevant, not valued, not honored. Can I tell you, Jesus sees. God sees your heart. God sees your labor of love for the body of Christ. God sees your desire to serve him faithfully. And he wants you to know that the world may not see you as a celebrity or a superstar, but he sees you as his son, as his daughter, in whom he is well pleased with. You are made in his image and likeness. He's perfect in all of his ways towards you. And so I believe that we need to remind ourselves today that the world may not value us, but we are valuable to the one who created the world, who lives outside of the world, who created the heavens and the earth, the land and the sea. The God who flung stars into space had his hands nailed to that cross. That God recognizes you. That God runs up to you. That God would take a selfie with you. He loves you, and he loves you with an everlasting love, not based on your popularity, not based on what you can do or where you are or what your influence is. It's based on who you are in Jesus. The greatest title, the greatest role that could ever be ascribed to you or I is not our job description or our influence in the world. It is that we are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And I don't know about you, but that's good enough for me. And fresh hope can emerge today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.